D-Day. We mentioned Hitler's troubles in Russia, which were a major blow to the Nazis. But it was an even bigger problem when the United States entered the war in December 1941. Hitler had allied with the Japanese, who were waging their own war of conquest across Asia. Japan was an enemy of the United States. On December 7, 1941, the Japanese launched a sneak attack on the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, killing more than 2,000 American sailors and destroying a large part of America's Pacific Fleet. The next day, the United States declared war on Japan and their allies, the Germans. The U.S. fought Japan in the Pacific Ocean while working closely with the British to plan an attack on Germany. U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt and British Prime Minister Winston Churchill were close allies. Together, they planned a massive invasion of France. The invasion would bring together Americans, British, Canadians, Australians, and many other nations in an all-out assault on Nazi Europe. The plan called for thousands of ships to land Allied soldiers on the shores of Normandy in northern France. The invasion happened on June 6, 1944. It was known as the D-Day invasion, D-Day being a secret Allied code word for the date of the attack. The D-Day invasion was probably the largest naval attack in the history of the world, using almost 7,000 vessels to transport more than a million Allied soldiers to the French coast. The invasion of Normandy was one of the most famous battles of World War II. Let's see what it was like through the eyes of an American sergeant. Sergeant Walter Lewis leapt from his troop transport into the salty brine of the Norman coast. He slugged through the knee-deep water toward the beach, weapon in hand and his heavy pack on his back. Sergeant Lewis's platoon leaped into the sea behind him. "All right, let's go!" Sergeant Lewis shouted. Sergeant Walter Lewis was part of a massive invasion force. All about the Norman coast, thousands of British and American ships were unloading troops for the attack on Western Europe. Thousands of other soldiers were slogging through the water beside Sergeant Lewis and his men. Hopefully, today would be the beginning of the end of the Nazis' grip on France. But the Nazis weren't going to go easily. As Walter trudged toward the beach, he saw that the coast was massively fortified by the Germans. Gargantuan concrete bunkers sheltered deadly machine gun nests. The beach was strewn with miles of barbed wire designed to snag soldiers' uniforms as they advanced. Beneath the sand, hundreds of deadly landmines, hidden bombs that exploded when stepped on, were buried. "Come on, men! Let's show the Nazis what we're made of!" Sergeant Lewis tried to encourage his men. They would need it. Before they reached the shore, the German machine gun nests erupted in gunfire. As bullets strafed the water, one of Sergeant Lewis's men was struck and fell beneath the waves. Still, the men pressed forward onto the shore. What else could they do? On the open beach, there was no shelter. All one could do was advance. Sergeant Lewis and his men reached land and dove into the sand. "One down, Sarge!" called one of his men. "Private Smansky took a hit!" Sergeant Lewis offered a quick prayer for his fellow soldier, but considered one casualty lucky at this point. He refocused on what he had to do. Sergeant Lewis had been ordered to make a rocky ridge about 200 yards up the beach. Several platoons were supposed to meet there to begin an assault on the German machine gun batteries dotting the coast. Sergeant Lewis and his men crawled on their bellies through the sand as bullets flew overhead and explosions burst all about. The man next to Lewis, Private Gorman, crawled over a landmine. There was a muffled explosion, and then just a mess of bloody sand and shreds of clothing where Private Gorman had been only moments ago. Sergeant Lewis choked and began shaking.
"That could have been me," he thought.
His hands were shaking uncontrollably as he tried to calm himself and keep a grip on his weapon.
Keep it together, he told himself. The rocky ridge is only a few more yards.
Sergeant Lewis felt they had gone far enough on their bellies. He stood upright and waved his men on. The American troops dashed across the sand. Only a barbed wire fence stood between them and cover. Sergeant Lewis cleared the fence easily, but two of his men became entangled in it.
Help, Sarge!
They yelled. He fumbled for the pair of clippers he kept on hand for snipping barbed wire. Once he had them, he struggled to get his men free in all the chaos. The Germans got sight of them. A burst of machine gun fire bore down on Lewis and his men. Sergeant Lewis felt his leg knocked out from under him. He fell in the sand, stunned. Looking down, he saw blood coming from his leg and realized he had been hit. But he felt no pain, yet, because he was still in shock. Lewis continued his attempt at freeing the two men, but it was useless. The two privates were slumped over, still entangled in the barbed wire. Both had been shot multiple times and were clearly dead. Two more privates came up and lifted Sergeant Lewis under the armpits.
Come on, Sarge! Almost there!
They screamed over the horrible sounds of war. They carried their wounded superior to the safety of the rocky ledge. Lewis grunted as they laid him out on the sand behind the rocks and began stripping the bloody clothing off his leg to bandage his wound. The air buzzed with gunfire, and the ground shook continually as mines and artillery shells exploded everywhere.
How many did we lose?
Asked Lewis.
I don't know,
answered one of the privates.
At least 8, I think, but more are wounded.
8 out of 40 isn't too bad,
said Sergeant Lewis. But even so, he offered more prayers for his fallen men. Eventually, the Allies did secure the beach at Normandy and succeeded in driving the Germans back. This was the beginning of the end of the Third Reich, but it came at a great price. More than 208,000 were killed and wounded.